I got to tell you something. You know, Route 66, I need to tell you some inspiration behind this. And if you look at how Route 66 got its name, the inspiration's kind of silly. It was going to be Route 60, then they came up with the Route 62, and the guy that actually had the money that put it together kind of just said, 66 sounds better. And so it just was literally just that. Kind of like look up Phillips 66, same thing. Read, how'd they get that cool name? You know, well, it was ridiculous, you know. But we know that there's 66 books of the Bible. And years ago, there's a pastor named Chuck Swindoll, and he wrote a book called A Journey Through the Book, looking at Route 66. And I seen that, and I was, so it actually really inspired me. I thought, you know what? I'm going to preach a series on an overview of the Bible. We're going to cover every single book of the Bible, which is going to be hard, but we're going to come up with certain themes, and we're going to attack it. So here in a few weeks, I'll start with the book of Genesis, and on the Sunday morning, I'll cover the entire book. But you'll get a big picture view of it. So let me talk to you a little bit about this, the original Route 66. You know, Route 66, if you start up in Chicago, and you go clear to Los Angeles, it's about 2,400 miles. This route covers 2/3 of our country. And we can see it. We kind of used it as a little guide of how much money we get in. That red line represents we're trying to get to California with $6,600 so that we can help support the Bible, making those Bibles. So, but really Route 66, what it originally was for is it connected the East to the West. They struggled with this. But the more we're going to dig into it, you'll see it really connects the past with the present. You know, a lot of industry takes place in the Midwest because that way when you travel to the outskirts of the United States, it's, you know, a similar distance, right? So in many ways, this route took the Midwest and it got product to the Westland is what really it started off. By the way, Route 66 started in 1926. We're just several years away from its 100th anniversary. And so it started 1926 by, the name then was the Bureau of Public Roads. And they launched this. It became, Route 66 was the first federal highway system. The very first. And we've seen what it did. We've seen the connections. It became the shortest and the best and the most scenic route from Chicago through St. Louis all the way to Los Angeles. It wasn't long after this route got its name that farmers began to jump on it. And they started transporting grain and produce down Route 66, took everything to the west. It was about 4 years after this was officially Route 66 when the trucking industry really jumped on it and started heavily using this route, Route 66. It became, like I said, the first federal highway system. It became the way. Well, there's no doubt there's a lot of correlation to the Route 66, to these 66 books here. Jesus Christ said that he's the way, the truth, the life. We hold in our hands this morning the mind of Christ. Anybody that wanted to take a route and wanted to get quickly to the west, you know what they did? There was only one good route. And it was going to be this one, Route 66. Gang, I'm here to tell you, I don't know where God's going to take you in this life. We know where he wants to take you in the life after. And you know what? You got to take this route right here. You got to walk the word, man. You have to. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So this book that you hold in your hands this morning is pretty special. Because it's the way. It's this book that teaches us about Jesus Christ and gives us salvation. It's this book that's going to carry you and guide you on every path that you're going to take the rest of your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse, let's start it in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation that through faith with the salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the scriptures, the first thing these scriptures do is they point the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. Nobody can get saved outside the pages of this book. The message comes from the page. No man has seen God at any time. We're far enough removed. Nobody in this room has seen Jesus Christ. He's given us a book. And this book has put us on the proper route to eternal life. The first thing it says here, the scriptures were given for salvation. You know what's cool about the Bible is the Bible uses like all these, like the Bible says you must be born again. Well, in Peter, it says this book is the incorruptible seed, right? And it's simple, but like in sex education, you learn the principle of how a kid's born, right? The father has a seed, it gets planted in mama, and when there's a conception, there can be a child. It's the same way biblically, but the incorruptible seed of the Bible, you hear the words of the Bible, and by faith you accept it, and it goes inside, and guess what? You are born again. That's what being born again is. You take the seed of God's word. This root, 66, is the root to salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. People are blinded. And then it continues on and says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. This book will illuminate the path we're supposed to take. Amen? It's true. The God of this world blinds people. This Bible opens it up and enlightens them. So like Route 66 became the main way of travel, the main way industry started really jumping on, and I'll add some more to that here in a minute. But God's Word is the way that we're supposed to take. Some people like to say the word Bible is an acronym, B-I-B-L-E. It's basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible. And it sure is. Not only is this a seed that gives you salvation, it's a light that illuminates the way. God's word, Psalms 119:105, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This book is not here like a lamp post this morning for you to come and lean upon. The Bible's not here so that me and you could just say, man, this is the light of God's word. No, it's a light for your feet because you're going places. It's a lamp for your feet. It's a light to your path, because there is a path. Salvation is just the beginning. God has something he wants to do. So in 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 15, that from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now watch verse 16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So you can see by the context, scripture is given, one, for salvation, number two, to perfect us and furnish us. That word perfect means to mature, right? Psalms 43 says it this way, God, your word is truth that leads me. The Bible illuminates our path. You know, the Bible's interesting because the Bible works, you know, a lot of times people like, you know, hey, did you try this diet? Does it work? Somebody will say, yeah, it worked for me. I lost 20 pounds. This guy lost 120 pounds. Somebody say, that didn't work for me at all. You know, some say that people have different metabolisms, whatever. You know, I think some of that could possibly be true. But did you know the Bible works 100% of the time? 100% of the time. But there's a secret to it. Hebrews 5:14 says that it must be used. Guys, you can drive from Chicago to Los Angeles, and you can do it 110 different ways. But did you know at the beginning there was only one route that made sense? If you needed fuel, if you needed places to stop, there was only one route, and it was going to be Route 66. And today I'm here to tell you that God has a plan and a purpose for my life and your life. He wants to perfect and furnish you and me. But listen, you've got to use it. The Bible's a book that is meant to be obeyed. James says this, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Guys, this morning we're all hearing the Bible. I hear the Bible. I listen to the Bible all the time. I like to listen to messages, right? I listen to that. I read it in the mornings. I do all that type of thing. But you know, it works. If you do it, if you don't do it, people's like, man, I don't know what it is. It's not working for me. Don't expect to learn the Bible just by getting the verse of the day off the Bible app. People do that too. Hey, man, are you in the Word? And people say, well, I read that scripture every day. Because the Bible app gives you one verse a day, like the verse of the day. Get on Caleb. The verse of the day is, everybody's got a verse of the day. You know, God's given you me a book. And hey, it's nice. It's okay to have a verse of the day. But what about a verse of the day to obey? Do what the Bible says. That's what it's given to you, me and for. You know, it's funny because you can take a bunch of different routes, and me and Bo go different routes when we go back to Kansas City. They're both really similar, you know. And other people go to, you can take like five different routes. You know, one time I went clear up to the Quad Cities, took I-80, clear on over. By the time I got to Kansas City, I'm like, man, that was kind of a nice route. It took me an hour longer, but it was nice, you know. I'm telling you, there's one route. And I you know, the Bible's true. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Bible's 100% true. So why do we keep, instead of doing the right thing that the Bible says, we keep taking left turns? It's clear from Scripture. You can never take a left and end up right. You cannot. Proverbs 16 says it this way. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. This path seems right. I'm trying to do the next best thing here. It seems right. Well, if it's not the path the Bible said to take, it's going to lead to death. It always leads to destruction. So guys, remember this morning as we go on this journey. Route 66 is the only way. The Bible is the only path. It wants to guide your feet. And I don't know why people always look at the Bible and they say, it's a piece of history, a great piece of literature. Do you not realize 1 Corinthians says this is the mind of Christ? Man, what do I do with my kids? There's a new problem in our home. I don't know how to handle this. Route 66. Man, I'm having trouble. My wife, she's having trouble with me. Man, I got a habit in my life where I'm really can't shake it. Hey, I don't know how to handle this at work. I got a boss at work, and he's whatever it is. You know what? The answers are here. They're right here. It's not Google. It's 66 books of the Bible. You got to get in God's Word, and He will illuminate your path. I just feel like I'm in darkness. I can't pay my bills. I got habits that are overtaking me. I'm not sure what to do. I got relationship issues. Guess what, folks? We're in the right place because there is a route. There is a way. And the way is Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 3 says Scripture is given for salvation. Then the second thing it says in that passage is given to perfect and to furnish you and me, to give what we need, to get us where we need to go. Guys, if anything, may you be filled with hope this morning as I preach, because you're like, man, I'm not really where I should be. Well, may today illuminate your path a little bit, and you can at least see where you need to be. And you can head that direction, you know. It's fun sometimes tackling a guy 2 yards short of the end zone. Unless he stretches forward before his knee touches the ground and the ball goes over the goal line and he scores. That's how I feel sometimes with life. We're heading in the right direction. It don't look real pretty. I feel like I'm getting here. Hit right here and I'm short of the goal line, you know. But if you can just get that ball over, and I'm here to tell you, the Bible sets those parameters. Everybody that plays football knows there's not only referees, there's not only a rule book, there's lines on the field so that we can properly judge everything by. Without it, it'd be crazy. Everybody wants to live life without referees. Everybody wants to live life without a rule book. Everybody wants to live life without lines on the field. You ever play like backyard football or baseball? We did all the time, you know. And all of a sudden you'd be like, that was a touchdown. No, that wasn't a touchdown. We're arguing over it because you know why? We had no lines. We just put two between that tree and that fire hydrant over there. In between, it's the goal line, right? So then it becomes like guesswork. So you know what I love about Route 66? It just tells you exactly where you're at. There's mile markers all the way there. There's no confusion. The Bible's really clear. Now, churches do weird things. Churches create bylaws and all kinds of rules in their rule book instead of just going to Scripture. And just say, you know, if the Bible don't draw that distinct line, why are we drawing it? This is the book right here. You know, Route 66 became famous. They wrote songs about it. John Stanback, in his famous book, The Grapes of Wrath, he's the one that coined the phrase in this book, Route 66 is the mother road. Because that's exactly what it was. Their songs, TV shows. There was a TV show. Did you see that picture of that TV show? Did you show about Jordan? Yeah. There were several seasons of that. Now, it was a little bit before my time even, but there was a show on it for sure. Do you know if you drove straight from Chicago, Route 66, if you drove straight on Route 66, it would take you approximately 40 hours to drive this if you just drove it straight. Here's the problem, folks. About 15% of that route is not even drivable today. Matter of fact, we're going to see some negative news towards the end of this message. But if you read 66 books of the Bible, God's Route 66, if you would start today, if you read at the average speed of an average person, you can read the entire Bible in 70 hours. 70 hours, just at a nice, smooth pace, you could get through this book. It's funny to me that people are like amazed. They're like, you've read that whole book? You've read the whole Bible? I'm like, every year. Are you serious? It's funny, but you'll watch people read, they read novels and stuff all the time. Now, some people ain't readers, but people that are readers, they just devour books all the time. Then you're like, have you ever read the Bible? Well, I haven't read the whole thing. You know, it's a big book, isn't it? Yeah. But if you put down the romance novel, you might be able to get through the 66 books that God wrote for you, because it is a romance novel. You get to the middle of it, all the books are about heart. It's about getting wisdom, and the Song of Solomon lays that out, and God says, you're my love. You're the perfect one. It is a love story, too. That's what I love about the Bible. It's got all of it. It's got everything for everybody. You know, if you like violence, you like action movies. That sounds bad, don't it? If you're a violent individual, the Bible's for you. I led a guy to Christ one time, and he started reading the Bible, and he started in the Old Testament. And he came to me. He was very disturbed. He goes, I don't like it. There's bloodshed everywhere. Why would God tell his people to kill people? You know, there's one spot he told him to kill the women and the children. Can you believe that? I'm like, well, I do, because God said it, you know. But did you know what was behind that, you know? And we had to explain. Some people are like that. Some people can go out and hunt, and other people are like, my gosh, how can you shoot something and kill it? You know, I don't try it. You might like it. I don't know. You know, but it's got something for absolutely everybody. If you wanted to get to Route 66 from Monmouth from here today, it's probably going to take you probably down near Bloomington. So what's up, an hour and 40, something like that, to get to Route 66 from Monmouth, just to hit that route, you know, if you wanted to do that and try to get near a road sign and take a picture. But let me tell you what happened in history. When Route 66 started in 1926, World War II started in 1939. So after it became an official route, World War II broke. 13 years later, World War II broke out. And I want you to know it did cause a serious decline in civilian and tourist traffic on Route 66. But it stimulated new business on this route. They used Route 66 in World War II to move troops and supplies from one end to military reservation to another. They started putting motels up along this route. Diners would start popping up everywhere. So they started, and hotels even said that during the war, they seen an increase in occupancy in their hotels, which you think that wouldn't be true. But families would go clear down here and stay in a motel to be with their servicemen or their husband or their daddy until he got shipped off for war. And so in long stretches, hotels said, man, most people staying a night. During the war, people were staying for weeks. Route 66, it possibly facilitated the single greatest wartime mobilization, as thousands of job seekers headed to California. They headed to Oregon and to Washington to work in defense plants. During World War II, there was a lot of production that started increasing. Listen to this. American industry played a huge role in supplying allies with military equipment. I mean, we had vast amounts of aircraft, tanks, artillery, and other war materials. Listen at this. Aircraft. The U.S. produced almost 300,000 airplanes during the war. 100,000 tanks, self-propelled guns, artillery, 370,000 artillery pieces were manufactured. Ammunition, 47 million tons of artillery ammunition and 44 billion rounds of small arms ammunition were produced. There was a lot of rubber factories that went up. There was a shortage of rubber, so everybody started jumping on this right during that World War II time. The government built and opened 51 synthetic rubber factories. So all this industry started popping up. Troops started leaving. People started jumping on this route to go not just be with their family members, but to find jobs to go and start producing, right? So army ammunition plants between 1940 and 1943, within a three-year period, 77 industrial facilities and 30 depots were established, all because of the war. Can I make a good point this morning? Route 66 was not only a great way, it was because of Route 66. Route 66 was made for war. It was made for wartime. It played a huge part in our economy. And I just want you to know that you and me are involved in war. I'm not just talking about your flesh, even though that's some of it too. You know what the Bible says? It's the lusts of your flesh that war against. If you got the Spirit of God inside, it wars against your soul. And so it's this book that will combat it. And if you don't believe me, then read Matthew chapter 4. Read Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was being tempted of the devil. And every time he was tempted of the devil, guess what he pulled out? Absolutely. He said, I'm taking you to Route 66, boy. And he'd quote God's word, and the devil, eventually the Bible says, and the devil left. This brought great victory. Did you know in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, this book is called the Sword of the Spirit? It's violent, man. We live in a violent place. Man, we got the devil that's against us. We got the world that's against us. My flesh is against me. My gosh, and guess what? I got one offensive weapon right here. 66 books right here. This book is made for war. And some of you are losing a battle, and guess what your key to victory is? You guessed it. You better jump on Route 66. You don't get in the Bible, you can't expect. You're not going to have any victory. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that this book is made. You read Romans chapter 12. It says that book right here, it can renew your mind. It can wash your brains. It can change your attitude. It can change your personality. I believe that. This book is powerful. That's why God's given it to us. In 1 Corinthians, it's called the mind of Christ. If you're going to do battle and win in this world, you know what you need to do? Get a handle on the book. This is Route 66. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it was made for war. You've got to use it, man. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. This is a spiritual journey, man. And you and me, you got to know the book. You got to get a new look from this old book, right? You have to. Paul tells Timothy several times, Timothy, be a good soldier. War a good warfare. And he tells him the key is going to be this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it'll only it's profitable. It'll only profitable if you'll be profitable for you if you'll use it. You got to use it. This is the only offensive weapon that we have. You got to learn how to use it. And everything in life, you know what you do? You throw some scripture at it. That's what you do. Throw some scripture at it. That's what the Bible says. Some of you that struggle, you might be struggling in your mind and you might think something is this way. Our mind's terrible, man. It gives us vain things. That's what worry is. What's worry? We're like contemplating, trying to predict the future. Something bad might have, it might not ever. Let me give you a prime example of it. All day Friday, everywhere I went, anybody I talked to is just like, man, you better take shelter. The world's going to end Friday. What? Yeah, storm's coming in. It's tornadic, man. Like, it's going to blow everything open down. And I was like, oh, really? You know, and then I'd go somewhere else and somebody would be like, hey, you know, everything was like, warning, warning, Will Smith, danger, danger. You know, I'm like, what in the world? Well, guys, we should know this by now. You know, that's how they keep you tuned in. That's how you keep going back, is they'll feed you with negative news. That's why when you watch the news at nighttime, it's always just like, two teens were shot up in Davenport, Iowa. And then you're like, what? And then you want to see who it is. Do I know those people? Do I know that name? You know, they're never going to tell you great things. You know, they don't, because it's the bad news that keeps you tuned in. So the enemy knows that. And so that's what we got, is a bunch of bad news. And hey, I know it could happen. We've seen bad weather happen around here. We had a tree hit our house a couple years ago, and it tore, hit our chimney, broke top of my chimney, went through the siding, I had to repair all that. We had a tornado land in Cameron here just, you know, a couple handfuls of years ago. Like, I know it's real, so don't think that I'm sitting around saying the storm. It could have been bad. Could have. It could have, but it wasn't. But we worried about it. You better be home. You know, we had a meeting here Friday night, and it was actually kind of fun. And honestly, the reason I didn't cancel the meeting, it's safer in this building than it is in my house with all the trees around my house. Like, we're going to be okay. Worst thing that happens here, the roof's going to blow off, you know? And so hopefully, I'm just thinking blow off. I didn't want it to blow in. But anyways, this book here, it'll set us straight. The mind gets vain. You tend to worry. And you're like, oh my gosh, it snowed this morning. Terrible, isn't it? It was bad. Woke up, and I thought, man, I thought this was over with. Is the world coming to an end? No, we just got an inch of snow. It's possibly by tomorrow that thing will be melted. Today might be a little bit chilly. But the bottom line is this. I just wanted to say this book is the way. It used to be in history the smoothest route to get across, to get things done. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to live life and not use this book, your life is not going to go well. That's it. Destruction. There's a way that seemeth right. Well, I'm trying to do this. The right way is over. Well, if I could just do this, and everybody has a different way and a different solution. Every year they come up with another 10 mental illnesses they can put on the count. That way everybody can get a label that we can label and put. Why don't we just simply go to God's word and say, hey, God, in this book, 1 Corinthians 2 says, will tell you how to think. It'll tell you how to think. And it's funny, if you don't think the way this book thinks, you're thinking wrong. Can I give you a principle of the Bible that's kind of a little bit wild? It's out here, you know, and people might not like when I say this, but in Romans chapter 1, you know what it says? Romans chapter 1 says, if you don't keep God's word in the forefront of your mind, if you don't want to take God's word and believe it to be true, and most of us would say, well, I believe it to be true, but I mean, are you telling me that I'm really feeling this way? I'm really thinking this way. You're going to tell me it's not real? I'm not going to tell you anything. But God's word will get a hold of those thoughts. And it'll 100% tell you, that's a false way of thinking. That's so wrong. The Bible says that God, if you don't retain his book in your knowledge, in your brains, it says in Romans chapter 1, God will give you over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate, like a reprobate person, they're like a castaway, you know. I like to think of the word garbage when I think of something that's reprobate. It ain't worth nothing. So if you don't like to retain God's word in your knowledge, God will give you over to a reprobate mind, meaning this. In any situation in life, you ready for this? Here's the big bold statement. In any situation of life, if you don't think the way the Bible thinks, you are officially crazy. I'm not saying you're getting locked up in a loony bin. I'm just saying it's bad thinking. It's bad thinking, dude. I'm just being honest with you. You retain God's knowledge. Put this on your forefront. This is the mind of Christ. Everything I hear, see, I filter through this book. If you don't do that, then you're reprobate. And guys, the problem is, we can think that when we're talking about like meth. People be like, oh yeah, it's true, isn't it? I'm not talking about meth. I'm talking about your daily decisions in life. The way you raise your family. I'm talking about the good things in your life. Listen here, Missy. Any Missies in here? Listen to me. Cindy, I got something for you. You think you're an incredible person because you get straight A's in school. You're on the honor roll. That's success, isn't it? That's not what the Bible says. is there anything wrong with getting straight A's? Well, most parents would say, of course not. If you can, you should. You know, don't we think that way? It's funny, though, one of the things God hates, he says right in Proverbs, the number one thing he hates is what? A proud look. Most people that got straight A's think that they're smart. They actually think they're the smartest person in the room. That's the problem with that. You know what it is? It becomes bad thinking if you're not careful. Instead of sitting down with your little Cindy Lou Who and saying, listen, girl, I want you to know that you got straight A's, and I think you're the smartest girl in your class. But I want you to know, do you see that kid over there? He's trying his best. He can't. He's doing his best, and he can't get straight A's. Don't think that everybody can and you're superior. That's bad thinking. And one day, he's going to fix your car and charge you $1,800. He's going to be a great mechanic. That's how he's made. You see what I'm saying? Watch your thinking. This book, let me get back to my point. I'm getting way off course. This book's made for war. This is the way, but it's also made for war. Guys, war with this book. That's what you do. War with the Bible. Quit trying to get through life and just barely making it by. Fixing things on your own. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it don't work. You know what this book says? Don't lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Route 66. That's the route to take in life. Get on it. Get on it. The next thing we find in history with this route, after World War II came to an end, you know what happened? It looked crazy good. Because now we were at rest. And all the troops came home, and we were going to play. Did you know car production went, it was like 25 million registered vehicles at the beginning of this. And after the war, it shot up to 52 million. In 10 years' time, we doubled car registered vehicles. People got on Route 66, and now instead of going to work, instead of going to war, going to see your daddy that was going off to war, people were like, we're going to the Grand Canyon. The greatest destination quickly became Disneyland. Everybody took this exact route and wanted to go to Disneyland. If you couldn't afford Disneyland, you could at least catch the beach. And that's what families would do. They would fill those gas tanks up, and instead of it used to be work and it used to be war, it quickly became play. What's sad about this story is it wasn't long. Within several decades, five new interstates hit the United States. And in three decades, it led to Route 66 was decommissioned. In 1985, it was the very beginning, my freshman year in high school, they decommissioned it and it was no longer Route 66. Now they'll call it Historic Route 66. If you want to get from here to there, there's faster ways. Now it's just if you're retired and want to see some history, you can take that route. People don't take it anymore. And I'm telling you what, when all these five new, faster, bigger interstates came along, because Route 66 is a two-lane. What happened is people started getting wiser, smarter, better equipment. Now we got four lanes. And it quickly, you know, it quickly ended Route 66. Basically because of the newer and the faster. And guys, it impacted countless businesses, communities, people that were making their living off Route 66. It took a few years, and then the United States Congress passed a public law in 1990 recognizing Route 66 as a symbol of American people's heritage of travel. It says it's a legacy. Route 66 gave us a better life. And so they put that in a law, which is kind of wild, isn't it? Back in 2008, World Monuments Fund listed Route 66 on the watch list of the most endangered sites. Route 66 ain't popular anymore. We just talk about it. It's a thing of history. It's even hard to get to. Like I said, I think they said around 15% of it's not even drivable anymore. So it'd take a long time to get where you want to go. But what's crazy about this, and what I like about this is, you know, Route 66, it's technically it's no longer an official highway. That's what I'm saying. It's no longer official highway. But as you know, Isaiah 40 says this: the grass withers and the flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. Amen. Route 66 is almost a piece of history. And it's like all of our monuments. You know, they're taking the Ten Commandments, or certain statues. They're taking away our history, especially if it's negative. If people are like, well, that's negative, I don't like that. You know, and so they start removing these, even though they're monuments. Instead of teaching history, hey, there's history, some good, some bad, teach it. Just exactly what it is. I just want you to know that Route 66, this route is no longer really thought about. Old timers like it. Take your, you know, you want to get your picture of your antique car and, you know, your hot rod with it, all that type of thing. But this book here lasts forever. That's why in 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, man. Because right now, this book is not in season. It's our job to tell people there's a better route. It's God's Route 66. This is the route you need to take. And you know what people say today? The Bible's old-fashioned. It was that way in history. That's what people say. They want to rule it out and just say, man, that book's old. Times have changed. Yes, they have. But God's word stands forever. You know, in Christianity, it used to be that people loved to hear God's word. A lot's changed in history. Did you know people used to come to church on nighttime? Because what happened is, like, people used to, before electricity was a thing, people had candlelight, right? And so downtowns in the evening, they were all dead. Every shop closed down. In the wintertime, every place closed down at 4 o'clock. Because people, you know, it's candlelight. Once electricity, and they started creating it, and power plants, and how to get electricity into places, it was downtowns. It was churches that were some of the first people ever to get electricity, because they would have their town meetings in the church. You know, they would have their city council. All that stuff would happen inside of a church building. Then, of course, Sundays would be where they would open God's word and preach. And so a lot of times people would go downtown, and they would even go to churches when electricity first hit, because people were wild at the lights. They didn't really come because of the Bible. But history's changed. There's a lot to do now on Sunday nights. There's a lot to do on Sunday mornings, isn't it? And you can make that choice if you want to. I don't recommend it. I think there's one route you should take, and one route you should be on. It's the way. It's wartime. But if you ain't careful, in most people's minds, it's not the way. Now it's wayward. It's passed us up. It's like the old Route 66 here. I was taught something when I was studying church history years ago. An old professor taught me this. I don't know where he got it from, but it is pretty fantastic. Did you know when God starts a movement? So God's moving, right? I feel like I'm in history right now with the sound effects. So there's a movement of God. Whenever there's a movement of God, man gets a hold of it and they see it and they're like, oh man, God's moving. Let's start a ministry. So whenever there's a movement of God, men start a ministry. Then there becomes a ministry. And you know how it is when you start ministry. You're like, oh, dear God, we don't even know how we're going to pay for this. God, we really need you. God, we need people to show up. We're praying all these things, right? We are needy. We need God, right? So there was a movement of God, and now we have a ministry. And then what happens is money starts coming in. We got a couple older people that die and leave a little money to the church. And all of a sudden, we got money in the bank, and like, we're not praying for God to meet our needs anymore because we got our needs met. Now, there's other people that are struggling, but we're going to hold on to our nest egg. And that's what churches do. Then they build a nicer building. They get newer chairs, newer carpet, a fancier place. And what you'll find out is this movement of God that was once a great ministry is now a machine. It runs, man. You don't need God. This is why Revelation says, when God comes to the doors of the church, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Would you open the door? That's not written to lost sinners. That's written to a church. Because the movement of God becomes a ministry, then people like to organize it, get their fingers on it. They corrupt it and it becomes a machine. And you're not needy anymore. You got everything taken care of. And we don't need the Lord. He's on the outside of the church saying, I would love to come in. Movement becomes a ministry, becomes a machine. And when the money runs out, it'll become a monument in history. There's the four stages. A movement of God becomes a ministry. Then it becomes a machine. It just operates without the Lord. And guys, before you know it, we'll call it history. It'll become a monument. We'll put a monument up to it and say, do you remember those days? This is exactly what we've seen with our Route 66 as a nation. It's done a very similar thing. But we've also seen this in the church. Route 66 ain't taken anymore. People don't believe the Bible like they used to. We're not as needy as we were. You know, we're talking about starting a recovery ministry. We've been praying about it and putting some footwork together. You know what used to happen? There'd be a big old nice church building and people would come in and they're like, you know, we're looking for a place to do an AA meeting. Could we use the church? They're like, well, I'll tell you what, yeah, there's a room in the basement. And so eventually addicts could come and they would come into this church and they would shuffle them down to the basement. They would get down to the basement and they'd take the metal folding chairs. People could smoke outside the door, you know, come in and drink a cheap cup of coffee. People would come down there and get vulnerable. They would get open. They'd realize they're not perfect. A whole group of people that were really just so needy. While a fancier group of people stayed upstairs in the church. They were the people that were feeding the machine. They weren't vulnerable. They didn't need the Lord. People upstairs in the church, they would talk about miracles. They would read about miracles. But in the basement of the church, they experienced miracles. Amen. They seen it. They wanted to obey the Bible. They were just trying to survive another day. And these people were so needy. And so, I'm so glad we're heading this direction as a church, because you know what we need? We need a church. We need a church that lives in the basement. That's what we need. We need a people that are open and vulnerable. A people that just says, man, I got way off a track. Well, guess what? We got it right here. There's a roadmap. There's a way. And it's a way made for wartime, right? And we can see in history that everybody went wayward. And now people don't even believe the Bible anymore. They don't even quote the Bible anymore. It's like an old-fashioned book. They don't even want it quoted in debates because it's up for so much opinion. But you and me know it's the book of truth. And here's the last point I want to make today, and I'm done. I want you to know, yeah, Route 66, it's had its time in history, and it's kind of cool. I like the old sign. Just reminds you, like, you just think of an old Camaro or something, don't you? Yeah, that's great. That's kind of like a historic thing. But today, I just want you to know this book right here, it's still the way. It's never changed. We've changed. Hey, and look at our culture. Are you happy with the way things are going out there? Look how people think. It's crazy. People are absolutely nuts. And you know how I know that? Because I'm a little nutty. And I talk to you and I'm thinking, she's nuts. We all are when we get outside of this. Left our own ways of thinking. The Bible says, God says, I'll give you up to a reprobate mind if you want to. Oh, you don't want to retain God's word? I'm just telling you, you're going to be crazy. I know you think you're the best mom on the planet. Listen here, Susan. You're nuts. This book is the one that sets those standards. It's the one that will tell you what being a good mama is, or a good dad, or a good employee. A good citizen. That's a model citizen, isn't it? What's the Bible say a model citizen is? I think a model citizen is somebody that don't cause any trouble. I don't know where you got that definition. That's not true at all. Christians should stir trouble everywhere we go. So church, I'm really excited about this. I'm going to have a couple weeks of introduction on this. We're going to get back to Route 66. So we'll have a few more weeks just like this. I got some passage I want to take you to, and then we're going to start right with Genesis. We're going to let God bring it to life. You're going to hit the book of Leviticus and go, I've never read this book, so I got two chapters in. I thought, I don't know what's going on here. Just wait till we get to the book of Leviticus. We're going to stay on this route clear to the end. I'm hoping by the time it's over, we look at our Bible a little differently and go, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us today. God, that's what we need more than anything. We need to hear from you. We have nothing good to say. Our thoughts ain't worth a darn. But Lord, your book is true. Lord, it has saved us and now it can guide us. God, I just want to lift up the brokenhearted right now. We got broken people in this room. God, we got people that got some real tragedy in their life right now. Lord, they need you. They need to know that they're on the right route, that they're heading in the right direction. I pray today they would seek your word. God, I just want to pray for the afflicted lady in this room. Lord, she desperately needs you. I want to pray for the man or woman that, Lord's lost, completely lost. They don't know you. Lord, I know it's through this book that they can meet you. They would accept the sacrifice that you made and the resurrection, God, and they would come back to life. So, Lord, thank you for this book today. We know this book has exactly what we need. And, Lord, we're going to make a commitment to you. We're going to start obeying it. We're going to start getting into it. God, we're bringing the old-fashioned back, man. We're going to preach this book and make it in season. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.